page 6. Page 6. We're going to talk today about the issue of divine foreknowledge and free will. This is actually a question that sounds very philosophical, but I find that people ask the question all the time. They don't always realize they're asking it. You know, kids that are in first grade ask the question because it's something that seems paradoxical intuitively. And students much older ask the question, and it's worthwhile to think very carefully about the answer. Now, we'll see how much we get through today. I think there are 7 or 8 answers in the Rishonim, which is reflective of the fact that this is a very challenging question, and perhaps one without a clear-cut answer. So we'll see how much we get to do. The truth is that the Mishnah Pirkei Avos may already refer to the question. You have that on the left column of page 6. Rabbi Kiva Omer HaKol Tzafoi V'Rishus Nisuna. Not everybody understands the Mishnah this way, but many of the Rishonim understand Rabbi Akiva alluding to this paradox, HaKol Tzafoi, meaning to say everything is foreseen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, but still, HaRishus Nisuna, we still have freedom. So Rabbi Akiva is saying, basically, that both of these pillars are true. Hashem knows the future, and also, we have freedom. What Rabbi Akiva does not tell us is how this is possible. So, the first that I know of to deal with this question is Rav Sadia Gaon in Emunos V'Deos, Maimer Dalad, Perek Dalad. You have it over here. Rav Sadia Gaon first goes ahead and demonstrates that Hashem actually does have foreknowledge. If you don't assume Hashem knows the future, then there's no question. But he assumes and shows that he does, in which case the question has to be asked, how is that compatible with free will? So we'll start off where it says Vim Tomar, page 6, the second Vim Tomar, Perkei. Vim Tomar, Kevan Shu Yodea, Bameshi Yev, Kvar Yadash Adam Yimre Dvaro. So Hashem knows what's going to be. Hashem knows that a person, for example, is going to rebel. Hare Mukhrach Adam Lahamros. Then it becomes necessary for that person to rebel. Kadesha Tiskayim Yadiyaso. So that God's knowledge will be affirmed or realized. Homer Cain, Ein Lo Raya Shi Yadiyas Habore. As hadvarim, hisiba savayasa. That's not a question, because who says that God's knowledge of the future event is the cause for its happening? Meaning to say, it may be or may not be. How do you know? Just because I know something is going to happen in the future doesn't mean I'm the cause of its happening. I know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. However, nobody would say that I'm the cause of the sun's rising tomorrow. Veino ela davar shenidmelo, osha amro bezado. In other words, this is a logical error. Either you're making an error, an unwarranted assumption, or an intentional error. Kiilu yediyas Hashem es hadavar, hisibas heyos hadavar. Inachanami. If God's knowledge of the future was the cause of its happening, then basically there would be everything would be caused and we would have a problem. She'en lahem reishis. And he goes on. So basically that's his answer. His answer is God knows what we're going to do, but he's not the cause of what we're going to freely choose. What's the cause of our free choice? Our own freedom. So God knows that tomorrow I'm going to freely choose to do X or Y. So my choice tomorrow to do X or Y is a free choice. The fact that God knows it in advance is not does not take away from my freedom, because he knows what I'm going to freely choose. That's essentially what he's answering. If you want to put it a little more precisely, we would say that just because something is true, it doesn't mean it's necessarily true. We discussed this when we did Perek Aleph of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, when the Rambam makes similar distinctions. Just because something is true doesn't mean it's necessarily true. Something could be accidentally true, meaning to say it could have been otherwise. It happens to be this way, but it could have been differently. If it is necessarily true that I'm going to choose X tomorrow, meaning to say it's true in all conceivable worlds, then it is logically, that notion is logically incompatible with my free choice. But just because it's accidentally true, it happens to be that tomorrow I'm going to choose X, that is not incompatible with my freedom. Those of you who took Dr. Johnson for medieval philosophy in college would know that Rav Sadia Gaon over here, the Rivash, makes the same point in the next source. We won't read it together, but basically those who argue that there's a contradiction between foreknowledge and free will are committing the error of the slipped modal operator, meaning to say they're assuming that just because something is true, it's necessarily true, meaning to say it couldn't have been otherwise, and that's a logical fallacy. And that's basically the approach of a number of Rishonim, again, Rav Sadia Gaon, Rivash, and others. That's a pretty simple, straightforward answer, especially if one studied a bit of logic. Let's turn to the Rambam. Yes?
So, how is it so, when it comes to Hashem, it's not like me knowing the sun's going to show up tomorrow because there's a chance, potentially, that it won't, because I don't know all the details.
But
that
you're pointing out a weakness in my analogy, which is correct, which is that this, when I say I know the sun is going to rise tomorrow, I actually don't know the sun is going to rise tomorrow. I'm making a very good guess that the sun is going to rise tomorrow because of past experience or knowledge of science or whatever it is, but I don't know the sun is going to rise tomorrow. There's a possibility that it won't rise tomorrow. And therefore, it's not really the same. So that's a valid question. The analogy isn't perfect. What Rav Sadia Gaon is still saying is, though, that knowing something, whether it's knowing something about the past, the present, or the future, doesn't necessarily mean that my knowledge is the cause of its happening. Right, so that's where we have to clarify that point, which is that the difference between something being true and necessarily true. If it's true that I'm going to choose X tomorrow, it happens to be that's the way it's going to be, but it could have been otherwise. So it's still possible, if Sadia Gaon is saying, that I could have chosen otherwise. And therefore, my choice could still be free. It's only when it's necessarily true that this would be a problem. Now, intuitively, this is very hard to wrap your head around it. It, in fact, seems totally wrong. Again, once it has to be that way, it couldn't be otherwise. And it's that non-intuitiveness of this answer, which is what is going to drive all of the other approaches to try to give an answer that is perhaps more intuitive. However, I believe that at least from a logical perspective, this is, and I'm, to be clear, I'm not an expert in logic, but this is, I think, a very compelling answer. But again, it's very hard to grasp, which is again why we're gonna turn to a number of other answers. Yes.
Another problem we could raise that by us, let's say even theoretically you would know somehow that 100% of the sun is going to rise, but you and the knowledge are two different things, but like the Rambam says...
That's going to be Rambam's answer. Let's we're about to read that. That's how the Rambam answers this question. But let's Hashadasis Lahachi, let's turn to the Rambam. So, well, to appreciate the Rambam's answer, which is Nachas Tshuva, the Rambam, as we've noted, deals with issues of free will, Nachas Tshuva, but really we need a Hakadama where he explains, at least briefly, the nature of divine knowledge, which is in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. So we'll start with that. So we're going to look at Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah first, which is on the right column of page 7. Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes. Kol HaNimtzaim, Chutz Min HaBorei, Mitzura HaRishona Ad Yitush Katan, Shiyeh V'tibur HaAretz, HaKol Mikoch Amitaso Nimtzu. We've talked about this already. The Rambam says that everything that exists, from the smallest mosquito to the largest thing, are only existent due to the truth of his existence. Right? Like we've explained, because his existence is a necessary existence. Ulefi shehu yodea atzmo, umakir gedulaso v'tifarto, v'amitaso, hu yodea hakol, v'ein davar nelami menu. Because he knows himself, and is aware of his greatness and his truth, so that is how he knows everything else. So let's try to explain this a little bit. The Rambam here is distinguishing between human knowledge and divine knowledge. God's knowledge is not something external to him, but rather part of his essential being, which contrasts human knowledge, which is external to our essence. Let's give an example. Hopefully today, maybe even in this year, you're learning something new. Maybe not. Maybe it's very boring. But let's assume you are. So, you didn't know this before this year, and you might even forget it after this year is over, right? So we're not going to say that this knowledge that you've acquired is part of your essence, such that your essence has changed during this year, and should you forget it afterwards, it's changed again. Rather, we would say that our knowledge is an accidental quality. It's not an essential quality. It's like my skin color, right? If I go out on a nice sunny day like today and go for a long walk in the sun, so I'll get a suntan. My skin will change colors, right? So has anything essential about me changed? No, my skin color has changed. When I learn something, I've acquired new information. It's not me. There's me, and there's this information. And I sometimes pick up information, I sometimes lose information. It's not something essential. This could not be true with respect to God. If we were to say that God were to acquire knowledge, so that means that he would be that there would be something besides him, right? There would be him and his knowledge, which would contradict God's oneness. Achdus Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If we were to say that, no, it's not him and his knowledge, but rather they are one, but he still acquired knowledge, so that would mean his essence has changed. That too is wrong, as the Pasuk in Malachi says, Ani Hashem lo shinisi. Also a contradiction of oneness. So there's no model to possibly explain the acquisition of knowledge with respect to Hashem. Again, if we say his knowledge is external to him, and he's acquired external knowledge, like we acquire external knowledge when we learn something new, so then there would be him and his knowledge, a contradiction to Achdus. And if we were to say, no, it's not external to him, it is him, so then there would also be change, right? Which is also impossible. Ani Hashem lo shinisi. So any model that is relevant for a human being with respect to knowledge is not relevant with respect to God. So what is the nature of God's knowledge? The answer has to be that he knows things not because of observation or contemplation, as we in the way we acquire knowledge, right? How do I learn something new? Maybe I witness it. Maybe I read it. Maybe I think about it. I come up with a chiddush, right? All those are not shaykh to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Rather, the Rambam says, he knows everything because he knows himself. And that includes his knowledge of future events, right? The way the Rambam puts it in Mar Nevuchim is that God's knowledge is no different from his essence. So now let's read what the Rambam said. Right? So the Rambam says, Ulefi sheyodei atzmo, like we just read, because he knows himself, umakhir gdulaso v'tifarto v'amitaso, hu yodei hakol. Right? He knows everything because he knows himself. It's not because he learned something and then knows it, but because he knows himself. Right? V'ein davar ne'elam mimenu. There's nothing hidden from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makhir amito v'yodei osa kimo shehi. Ve'enu yodea b'deya shi chutz mimenu kimo sh'anu yodim, like we said. He doesn't know things with knowledge that's external to him, like we know, right? Like we said. You look at things outside of you and you discover them. Shein anu v'da'atenu echad, because we and our knowledge are not one. There's us and our knowledge, right? Which we could forget or remember, or put into a memory thingy, or whatever it is, right? All that's possible with our knowledge. Think of a computer. Aval aboreis borach, hu v'da'ato v'chayav echad. Mikol tzad u'mikol pina u'v'chol derech yichud. Right? All of what we're saying is basically a outgrowth of Achdus Hashem. The Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna makes the same point briefly. Shil malei haya chay v'chayim, V'yodeya b'deya chutz mimenu, hayusham elohus harbei, hu v'chayav v'da'ato. If God's knowledge was external to him, so then there would be an element of multiplicity. Him, his knowledge, his life, his existence. V'eno davar kein, el achad mikol tzad u'mikol pina u'v'chol derech yichud. Nimtzeis ata omer, hu hayodeya v'hu hayadua v'hu hadeya atzma hakol achad. This is an important line, that Hashem is the Odeya, the Deya, and the Deya all at once. Right? Where it comes to us, we could divide those concepts. Not so when it comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rambam in Mar Nevuchim elaborates upon this. This is something that also appears in the Sifrei HaEmes, towards the beginning of Sefer Tanya. He talks about this as well. He quotes this passage from the Mar Nevuchim. It's a very important principle. V'davar zeh, the Rambam continues, however, ein koach befel omro, v'lo be'ozen lishmoa, lishomo, v'lo belev adam lakiro alborio. In other words, even though we've sort of tried to explain this just now, we've done only that, sort of tried to explain this, and we sort of try to understand this. But to truly understand this, that's something beyond our capacity. Ulefikach Omer, and then he quotes psukim that highlight this point. Okay, so with this hakdam in mind, now let's go back to the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perakei Halacha Hei, where he deals with the problem of divine foreknowledge and free will. So the Rambam writes, Shema Tomar, again, page 7, the source previous, Shema Tomar, V'alo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Kol Ma Sheyeh, V'kodem Sheyeh, Yadas Shezeyeh, Tzadik Rasha, Olo yada, right? Same problem. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. So what is before it happens? So Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that this guy is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha. Im yada shu yet tzaddik, yefsha shelo yet tzaddik, v'im tomar shi yodeya she yet tzaddik, v'asha shi yet rasha, v'alolo yada davar boryo. Right? If Hashem knows this guy is going to be a tzaddik, so he can't not be a tzaddik. If you're going to say that he could not be a tzaddik, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really know that he's going to be a tzaddik. The old problem. What's the solution? Da. Shechuvas she'elazu aruka me'artmida urechava mineyam v'kam eikaren gedolim v'harim ramim teluyim ba. This is a broad answer that's dependent upon many fundamental principles. Aval tzarcha taleida ulahavim b'davar zeh shani omer. You have to understand the following. Farbi'anu b'perak sheni milchus yisodei ha'Torah, what we just read. Shachadosh baruch hu enu yodeya mideya shehu shehi chutz mimenu. God does not know things with knowledge that's external to him. kivnei adam, shem v'datam shnaim, like humans, where it is the case that they and their knowledge are two separate things. Elohu yisal leshemo v'dato achad. He and his knowledge are one. V'ein dato shel adam yichola lasig davar zeh al burayo. This is something that is a human being can't fully understand. Ukshem shein koach ba'adam lasig v'limso amitas abore. Just like we can't understand God's essence. Shenemar ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. Which means that a person cannot perceive God's essence and live. Ein koach ba'adam lasig v'limso dato shel abore. So we can't really fully understand the nature of God's knowledge. Hu shanevi omer. What does that mean? The way I think is not the way you think. The way I act is not the way you act. There's a fundamental difference in the nature of divine knowledge from human knowledge. The Kevin Shekain who ain banu koach le daheach yeda kadosh baruch hu kol abruim v'maasim. We don't know how God knows things. Meaning to say as follows. When I know, if I were to know that something was going to happen in the future, I know that tomorrow you're going to oversleep and meshachris. Wouldn't happen with Yoni, that some other people. So I know that you're going to oversleep, right? So now, if I have that knowledge, so then how would I have that knowledge? Because I could see the future, right? Because remember, I as a human know things by observing things outside of me. So I have a crystal ball. You might say this doesn't make any sense anyway. The future doesn't exist. But let's even imagine it did. And I could look into my crystal ball and see the future, and I could see, you're going to wake up late for shacharis tomorrow. Okay? So now, that knowledge would in fact contradict the possibility that you would actually get up on time and not sleep late for shacharis. However, that's not the way God knows the future. It's not like he looks at something that's external to him and divines the future. Rather, like we said before, it's coming entirely from within. And that's the root of the difference, the Rambam says. Aval neida b'lo safek, shema'aseh adam b'yad ha'adam. But we know with certainty, this much we know, that God, that humans' actions are in his own control. In other words, we have free will. The logo zera lav lasos kach. God neither pushes him in a certain way or decrees that he'll be in a certain way. In other words, there's no determinism. The lo mipnei kabbalas hadas bilvad no da davar zeh. We don't just know this because of a tradition or because the Torah told us. El b'rayos b'ros medei b'chachma. We could prove the existence of free will from philosophy, could be independently derived. Therefore, a person is held responsible for their decisions. All of prophecy is dependent upon this. So, what exactly has the Rambam said? So I think what he's saying is, this is the way, for example, the Avodas HaMelech reads the Rambam. If you want to read the Avodas HaMelech, it's on page 7, right after this. Left column, bottom left of page 7. What he's saying is the following. That when it comes to divine knowledge, inherent knowledge, so there is no contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. Because his foreknowledge does not come from external sources. This point is also elaborated upon over here in the Mor Nevuchim, though I think we won't read it together. So, has Rambam actually answered the question, or has he basically just told us we can't understand the answer to this question? So, the way that the Avodas HaMelech is reading it, I think this is the correct reading of the Rambam, Tursky also reads the Rambam this way, that the Rambam is in fact answering the question. He's not saying we could fully understand the answer, because we can't understand the nature of divine knowledge, how God knows things, but basically what he's saying is that in Achanami, for a human to know the future would already have to exist, which in fact would eliminate the possibility of absolute free will. But for God to know the future, since he doesn't know it through observation, it's not something external to him, so that being the case, then there's no contradiction between foreknowledge and free will. Now, the Rambam says, though, that you can't really wrap your head around this, because we can't really wrap our head around the nature of divine knowledge. When we talk about the idea that God knows himself and therefore knows everything, that's something that we might be able to say, but it's something that we can't really understand. But that is what the Rambam is answering. Now, let's turn to the Ravid. So the Ravid, on this halacha, it's on page 8. First, begins with, I get a methodological objection to the Rambam, and then we'll see his actual point. His methodological observation is, Amar Avram, lo nagze hamachaber min hachamim, she'en adamaschamu davar, lo yada lashlimo. Right? It's not a good idea to give a shir, you know, raise a lot of shilas, and then not actually answer any of your questions. Now, the truth is, right, v'hu hechel b'shelos kushios, right, he asked some very good question. He asked a very good question, v'niach adar v'kushia, but he didn't answer it. V'chzira l'amuna, and he basically told you at the end, okay, so you just have to have amuna, that we have, that Hashem has foreknowledge, and we have free will. V'tov haya lo l'aniach adar v'tmimus hatmimim, v'lo ye'orer libam, v'yaniach daitam v'safek, v'ulai sha'achas yavo, hear her belibam alzat. You know, it's one thing in a Gemara shir to, like, you know, raise a kasha and leave off with a tzarech ion. You know, Rabbi Akiva Eiger did that all the time. I don't know if the Ravid would have objected to that, but when it comes to something as fundamental as this, so the Rambam was lo nag min hachachamim by raising this very, very fundamental question, and then saying, oh, sorry, you can't really understand the answer anyway. Now, what would the Rambam have responded? First of all, he might have said that the stomach people have thought about this question before I raised it, and perhaps he would even say that there's value in trying to understand whatever we can understand, even if we can't fully understand the answer. But I think also, in light of what we said from the Avodas HaMelech, the Rambam has answered the question. The Rambam has answered. There is no contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will, because divine foreknowledge is not knowledge that's external to God, but rather something that's inherent and internal. Now, he has said that we can't fully understand the nature of that, and the Rambam here has told us an important point, which is that a person has to have a certain level of humility and recognize that there are certain things beyond their ability to understand. And whenever we're learning about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, we have to keep that in mind. There's a mitzvah of Yedias Hashem, and there's also the awareness that we have that we are limited in our capacity to fully understand Hashem. Those limitations don't mean we shouldn't try. But now we'll turn to the Ravid's answer himself. Yes?
Can you explain exactly how that's answering the question?
The answer to the question is that there's no contradiction between internal knowledge and freedom to do the future, because internal knowledge doesn't come from something external to the person, or in this case God, which would thereby preclude the other person's ability to do otherwise. In other words, there's a chiluk. In terms of knowledge that's external to me, so then if I know something will happen in the future, then it's going to have to happen that way. Couldn't happen otherwise. And there, if that were the case, there'd be a problem with free will. But when the knowledge, the basis of the knowledge, does not come from something external, but something inherent, so then that contradiction doesn't exist. This, by the way, might relate to another answer we're going to get to later. I don't know if we'll do it today. The answer that God's existed, you know, the whole premise of the question is wrong, because God exists outside of time. He's the creator of time. You can't even talk about questions like, if I know before an event is going to happen that it's going to happen, then how could it not happen? Those terms before, after, today, tomorrow, are not even relevant to God. And that's actually part of this answer, because part of the nature of God's knowledge and its difference is that it's not limited, encumbered, and within time. But we'll see that as a separate and distinct answer, because that's not the way the Rambam puts it. But that might be part of this answer. Okay, so what does the Ravid say? So let's read it together. Av afal pi she'ein tshuva nitzachas al zeh. So the Ravid acknowledges from the start that this isn't going to be a convincing solution. It's not going to be 100%. Tovu lismoch lo ktsas tshuva. Bomer. So I'm going to give a partial answer and say the following. Im hayu tzidkas ha'adam v'rishato t'luyim b'gzeras ha'borei yisborach. Then hayinu omrim sh'yidiyaso hi gzeraso. If the righteousness of a person or his wickedness are dependent on the gzera of Hashem, in other words, if Hashem was gozer that a person is going to be a rasha, so then of course there would be a problem. Then the person wouldn't actually have free will. Right? This might be, this starts off sounding very much like the answer we saw from Rav Sadia, you know, and the Rivash and the like. The Achshav Shabore Yisir Zua Memshala Miado Umasra Ada Biyad Adam Atzmo. Now he says a very important line. But Hashem has surrendered this control and given it to man. Meaning to say, Hashem has the power to control what we're going to do, but he has surrendered that power. En Yediaso Gzeira. Therefore, his knowledge is not a gzeira, right? If it was a gzeira, so then, if the reason why Hashem knew that tomorrow I'm going to wake up late for davening is because he was going to force me to sleep late, it was a gzeira, so then, of course, I wouldn't have the freedom to do otherwise. But that's not true, because God has relinquished control over human behavior. Aval hi, ki yediyas ha'etztagninim, shiyode mikoach acher, ma yu drachav shelzeh. Rather, his foreknowledge is not determinative, but it's like the knowledge of astrologers who know from some external means what will happen to a person. Now, if we were to stop here, I would have said that the Ravid's answer is very similar to what we saw in the Rav Sadia Gaon and the Rivash and the like. He's basically saying God's knowledge is not a gzera. God's divested, you know, he has the power to control the future, but he doesn't, and therefore we have freedom. And his knowledge is like the knowledge of astrologers who know from some other force what a particular person is going to do. But that knowledge that the astrologers have of the future doesn't limit the person's freedom. And so too, God's foreknowledge is not determinative. It doesn't prevent self-determination. That's the way I would have read this if we stop now. And again, it would be more or less along the lines of Rav Sadia Gaon. But then he continues. Let's read on. V'adavar yadua shekol mikra ha'adam katan v'gadol masru ha'borei. So now he's actually telling us a little bit about the nature of how astrologers might know the future. That Hashem, it's well known, that Hashem made every event, whether big or small, dependent on the mazalos, dependent on the stars. Ella, shenasan bo hasechel, liyoso machziko lotzeis mitachas hamazel. But Hashem also gave a human being the sechel, the intellect, which gives him the ability to go against his mazel. In other words, there is a certain mazel, there is a certain fate. You could look at this not in terms of stars, but in terms of predilections, whether it's genes or nature, nurture, whatever it is, there's a certain path, a certain fate that a person will naturally have. But Hashem also gave him seichel. And through a person's seichel, they could overcome that teva, overcome that mazel, overcome that natural predilection. V'hu, hakoach hanasun be'adam, liyoso tov, ora! And this is that koach that a person has to be good or bad. V'abore yodea koach hamazel. So what does Hashem know? Hashem knows the koach of the mazel. In other words, he knows the person's fate, what the person perhaps would naturally do, based off his nature, his nurture, whatever it is. He knows that fate, and he knows exactly how strong it is. V'riga'av, im yesh koach v'secha lo tziol lezeh midei miyado olo. And he also knows whether a person possesses sufficient power to enable him to escape that decree, that, or I shouldn't say decree, that fate of the mazel. Vizu hayidia in exera. That knowledge is not exera, right? It's not determinative. A person could choose. And then he concludes, v'chol zeh nenu shaveh. So this answer is worthless. But he said it, so let's try to understand it. So what's he saying? What's he saying? Sounds like he's saying that Hashem knows a person's inclinations and he knows his fortitude, but he doesn't actually know what a person will choose. In other words, the Rabbit's saying there is a contradiction between absolute foreknowledge and free will. If God knows that a person is going to choose X, he cannot choose not X. That knowledge would be determinative. That's what the Rabbit is calling a gzera. And the Rabbit's saying that we believe in free will, right? And the basis of free will is the seichel, the Rabbit says. And in a sense, then, he is limiting foreknowledge. God knows what a person can choose and what he's going to be inclined to choose and whether he has the ability to overcome that inclination. But he doesn't, and based off of that, he might be able to predict very well, right? He's even better than the best astrologers, because astrologers also are oftentimes good predictors, because they're able to see a person's fate, right? Again, an astrologer could be like a very good psychologist or, you know, mind reader or the like, you know, knowing the person's nature, knowing the person's abilities, can predict, perhaps even with a pretty high degree of accuracy, what's going to happen. But they can't ultimately predict what the person will choose, because the person has that ability to defy their fate. Now, the question is, how could the Rabbit say this? What happened to omnipotence? Doesn't God know everything? So the Rabbit does address this here as well. The Rabbit writes, God has the ability to know that future, but he relinquishes that ability when he gives man free will. In other words, there's nothing that God can't do. And he can know the future. But if he did know the future, we wouldn't have freedom. And so as to give us freedom, he relinquishes a certain power that he has, namely the definitive knowledge of the future. That's what the Rabbit seems to be saying. This approach, then, is very similar to that of the Ralbag. The Ralbag is more famous in the Sefer Mochamos Hashem, Chelek Gimel, Perek Vav, for espousing this view that basically to resolve the question of foreknowledge and free will limits God's foreknowledge. Now, what about omnipotence? Doesn't God know everything? Or omniscience? Can't he do everything? Right? What are we saying? We're saying that there is a contradiction between absolute free will and absolute foreknowledge, and therefore God limits his foreknowledge. So, well, can God do everything? So maybe, how could we say God's limited? He can't both know the future and give us freedom. What do you mean? He can't? He can do everything. So, the answer, perhaps, and this is an idea, maybe another time we could elaborate upon it, that many Rishonim point out. The Rambam, the Rashba, the Chazon Ish is a very fascinating discussion about this in the missing sections of Emunah Bitachon, that it's not true. When we say God is Kol Yachol, doesn't mean he could do everything. That's ridiculous. Only a silly child would think that. Right? Could God destroy himself? Of course not. As we said before, he necessarily exists. Could God duplicate himself? No. He's necessarily one. Could God take on a physical form? The Rambam says absolutely not. That would contradict his oneness. It's a logical impossibility. There's no reason to assume that God could do a logical impossibility. Now, our logic might be flawed, so it wouldn't be particularly smart to say we know God can't do X. Maybe we're making a logical fallacy. But the notion that God can't do that which is impossible is not a problematic statement, because omnipotence means that he could do anything possible. And the idea is very simple. Inability to do something is a deficiency when it's possible. It shows a weakness. If something is theoretically possible and I can't do it, so I'm deficient in a particular way. But when something's impossible, not impossible because it's like hard, like a nace. This is what the Rashba says, you know. It's impossible to split the sea. No, that's ridiculous. I just don't have the power to do it. It's possible. But when something is inherently impossible, the Rashba's example is to have a triangle where the hypotenuse is longer than the two sides. I don't know if mathematicians would agree to that example anymore, but that's not relevant. The point is that when something is impossible, so the inability to do the impossible is not a deficiency. And nobody ever said that Hashem can't do that. So therefore, if it is the case, the Ravid says, that foreknowledge and free will are logically incompatible, so then there's no problem saying that Hashem gave up in his ability to know the future. He relinquished that power so as to give us free will, because the alternative would be lack of free will. God has the power to do anything. If he wishes to know the future, he could. And if he does, then we won't have freedom, at least absolute freedom. So God's knowledge of the future, the Ravid says, is limited. It's like astrologers. He knows what our predilection is going to be to choose. He knows our fate. He knows our seichel. He knows what we're capable of doing. But what we're actually going to choose, he doesn't know. Now, first of all, I should note that not everybody reads the Ravid this way. Maybe next week we'll talk about an alternative. The Rivash has a tshuva about this as well. He thinks that the Ravid is different than the Ralbag. We should also note that this might seem like a very radical position, but there may be a number of Rishonim who hold this way. The Ravid, Ralbag, Rashi, maybe we'll get to this next time, in a number of places, sounds like he might be saying this. The Shla certainly endorses this position, and the Shla argues that the Ramban holds of this position as well, though I think that's debatable. Well, maybe again next week, if we decide to go back to this, we could see that. But that is possibly at least a view of a number of Rishonim. Of course, if you don't like this idea, you could deny that the Ravid says it, and you could deny that Rashi says it, and you could deny that the Ramban says it. So you're left with the Ralbag. Okay, Ralbag. Ralbag said a lot of very controversial things. Yeah, you had a question.
Yeah, would the Rambam consider this Kedira? Because it's sounds like something
I don't think so. Meaning to say, the Rambam might say that this is a logical fallacy. But I don't think he would see it as Kfirah, because the Rambam agrees, as I said, in a number of places to the notion that omnipotence doesn't mean God could do the impossible. So if I were to assume that it's impossible to know that to know the future and also have free will, and therefore deny God's knowledge of the future, or an aspect of his knowledge of the future, then I don't think that's Kfirah. Again, the Rambam might say it's a mistake. The person goes out and says that it's impossible for there to be a triangle whose hypotenuse is longer than its two sides. And therefore God cannot create a triangle whose hypotenuse is longer than its two sides. And then somebody goes ahead and shows that actually it's possible. Okay, you're stuck in the Euclidean geometry. That's so backwards. So what have I done? So I've made a mathematical error, right? And due to my mathematical error, I've claimed that God cannot do something that he can do, but that wouldn't be Kfira. It would be a mathematical error. It's also, led to a theological error, but it's a theological error that's basically rooted in a mathematical error. It's an interesting question. Again, I don't know if we'll do that today. How do we know that God knows the future, right? It's actually quite interesting because we started off taking that for granted. Let's look at the Makoros, right? What do the Makoros tell us about God's knowledge of the future? Is it so clear-cut? Is there a pasuk, right? There are statements in Chazal that seem to take it for granted, but how clear-cut are those? So I don't think that the Rambam would see this answer as heretical, though he might see it as wrong, because the Rambam thinks that the basis of this answer is a logical error. It's assuming that divine knowledge would be, would limit the ability to know the future, and that's wrong, because it's only human knowledge that prevents, that would prevent the possibility of free will, not divine knowledge.
Doesn't that lead to something that would sound like limiting Hashem's knowledge?
No, because we're all the Ralbag is saying is that God can't do the impossible, which is something that the Rambam agrees to. It's just the Rambam thinks this is possible.
And when the Ravid says that Hashem's knowing Yodim Acher, is that saying that knowledge is separate from Hashem?
No, I don't think that's what he means to say. I think what he means to say is it's like astrologers, right? In other words, a astrologer looks at the stars and sees the fate of an individual or a nation or the like, right? And that's why it could be wrong, because all they know is the fate. Their knowledge of their fate is absolutely correct, but because Hashem gave human beings the seichel to be yotze mitachas amazel, so then memela, their knowledge of the mazel is correct, but their knowledge of the future ends up being wrong. Yeah.
So, theoretically, God can impose His will to affect any outcome that He wishes, because God is
right.
The source of all things.
Yes.
So, why do we have to assume like this, that just because we have certain things that are logical impossibilities, we can say that there are certain things like duplicating the self, you know, all these things that they're troublesome. So, but we shouldn't necessarily have a blanket statement against anything, because just because God knows all eventualities, you know.
Do you think that God could destroy himself?
What I'm saying is,
I'm asking
this
you.
Particular issue.
Forget this issue.
Can God destroy God's self?
Can God destroy himself?
God certainly has the power to do so, but he wouldn't, because it's
so that's what the Rambam says is wrong. The Rashba says
I can
now, maybe you're right. It happens to be. There are certain Hasidic thinkers who argue that logic is a creation of God, and you can't say that he's limited by logic. And this is an interesting question. Is there such a thing as inherent logic, and would we really see this as a limitation and the like? Maybe we could do another share on that. But
so I accept that. But I have
so,
a question.
Yeah.
So putting all those crazy things aside, you know, I posit that God knows what the person is likely to choose,
mm-hmm.
what he's most likely to choose, what all the things that he could choose,
mm-hmm.
but he chooses not to impose his will
right.
on any particular
right.
Fork.
Good.
So what I just said and what
that's
the
writer
said are two different things.
I thought
because he's saying that God does not know with certainty which he will choose. But
you're saying that God knows all the choices, and he also knows what you're going to choose.
You're right, but he
that's what you're.
He
to
impose his
he doesn't
will.
Impose it, but he knows what you're going to choose, right?
Yes.
That is a way to read the Raifet. I agree. And some thinkers think that way.
So
I don't see. I don't. That's not the way I'm reading the Raifet.
No, but why?
Why am I not reading it? I don't think it fits the words. Because then he doesn't need to say all this. Like what's he saying? If that's what he's saying, I don't. If all the Raivit is saying is like this, God knows the possibilities, and he also knows what a person is going to choose, right? So what is he doing by comparing Hashem's knowledge to the knowledge of the astrologers, and then saying, but a person has the ability to go against the fate?
So
again, once you assume that it's a logical impossibility, and you don't even have to take a definitive stand on that, you could say the following, if you want to say it a little less boldly. You could say, as far as I could tell, there's a logical impossibility to both know the future and for the actor to be absolutely free. And if it is the case that it is logically impossible, then there's no problem saying that God doesn't know the future, because we've already established that saying God can't do the impossible is not problematic. So there's one of two possibilities. Either I'm making a logical error and God can know the future with certainty, as well as my having free will, in which case that's the solution. But since, as far as I could tell, that's logically impossible, so then it's not problematic to say in Achanami there's an aspect of the future that he doesn't know.
So I would say,
and the reason why he doesn't know that is because he's relinquished that power. That's another reason why I don't think that your reading of the Raivit is plausible, because why does the Raivit stress that point, that Hashem has relinquished that power in giving man the ability to choose good from evil?
So I accept this reading, but I'm questioning his solution. That's all.
Okay. What part are you questioning?
Because and then he, okay,
it's
so
true. The Raivit isn't so sure about this himself.
Him at that. Okay. So the individual at that moment, I would say God knows that the you of that moment would choose some outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But the you of that moment can be affected by any number of variables that would change the way you would act. So God knows the likelihood of your choices, but there's also the chance that you might meet someone, or you might do something, might change the outcome.
Great.
So
does he know or he doesn't know?
It's a tough one.
Right. That's exactly the Raivit's point. Yes.
Would Raivit accept Rambam's idea of Nitzah versus Borei, that everything that's Nitzah is dependent on the Borei, everything
that
incidentally true is dependent on that which is necessarily true?
Yeah, I think so. That's a pretty straightforward idea.
If
he's not massive.
Right, so to the extent that, everything physical, everything in our world is incidentally, is dependent on that which is necessarily true,
mm-hmm.
how can it, isn't it just sort of intrinsic in God, like the Rambam says that.
But the Rav isn't the same. Lemaisa.
Right.
If he knows what I'm going to do,
like,
then can I do otherwise?
No, I understand that's what the Rav says. I understand that's what the Rav says. I just don't understand if he's going to accept the premise that everything that's incidentally true is dependent on that which is necessarily true, then.
What's the problem? Everything that. My existence is entirely dependent on God.
Okay.
And I freely choose because God wishes for me to freely choose. Right? The Rambam himself said that in Hilchos Teshuva. I'm able to freely choose because God gave me that power to freely choose. And therefore, my free choices, what I'm going to freely choose, is something that God can't know definitively. My ability to freely choose is entirely dependent upon His granting me that power to freely choose. Yes?
Why can't we ask the same question on God
himself? On what?
God himself, so to speak. And then time Hashem does come for him, that's what he does with the rule. It couldn't have been that he wouldn't have done that thing because in his infinite wisdom that was the solution that would have to come out. So it always would have had to have been there.
Maybe that's true with respect to God. We haven't discussed that at all.
Didn't the Rambam say that Hashem is like the ultimate expression of what the theory is?
That was the Ramban. That's a different question. An interesting question. Right? Last week, we talked about Ramban's point that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chefetz v'raton. What is the nature of God's free will? That's not a question we've discussed at all today, and it might not be a question that we're able to understand. It is probably, the Ramban emphasizes that there's chefetz and ratzon klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban does not say that it's identical to our chefetz and ratzon. And in fact, it might be something that we're absolutely unable to understand. But that's not a question we've discussed today. Well, the Ravid didn't tell us whether Hashem has Bechira. And if he does, it doesn't mean he has the same type of Bechira as we have. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have Bechira to choose Ra or Tov? Can Hashem choose Ra? Or is that impossible because his essence is good? Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't choose Ra. Not because he lacks the power to, but because it contradicts his essence. As opposed to us, who have the ability to choose between Tov and Ra. In other words, when we talk about Ratzon, Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't think it's the same as saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses between good and evil and happens to choose good.
But it's definitely for things that aren't just like Tov, but they will be different Tov.
So that's an interesting question. Does such a thing exist? But again, I don't know if that's relevant to our discussion today. Yeah, what are you going to say?
I'm saying, according to the Rambam, he and his will are one. So the choice doesn't exist outside of it.
Mm-hmm. Right? You're saying that you're imposing human terms on God, right? if he and his will are one, not two, so then the way you're even formulating the question doesn't even begin. But again, all this is part of what the Rambam says we can't really understand. Okay. I see there's a lot more questions, but we're out of time. You're welcome to, I'll continue to ask the questions, but maybe we'll stop here. Everyone should have a good Shabbos, a Freilichen Purim. It'd be wonderful if anybody wants to stop by our home on Purim, or come for the Suda, the like. It would be amazing. Let me know. You could come by without letting me know. If you want to come to the Suda, let me know, and we'd love to have you. We'll pick up Be'ezras Hashem. Do we have class next week? No. What? No. All right. In 2 weeks, Be'ezras Hashem. Guess everybody's going to have this. This stuff really you should be doing on Purim, not on Shushan Purim. Okay.